We're looking at Luke chapter 20 today, and you had a series a while back, I think, that was starting. We were in the middle of looking at Luke, and so today we're looking at this passage, Luke 21 to 19. And in particular, though, I just want to focus on the first eight verses. So verses 9 to 19, those 10 verses there, are the story of the parable of the evil farmers. And basically, Jesus is great in this because he tells the story and then he sort of explains he doesn't explain what the story is, but the scripture tells us that the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they understood that the story was about them. And it's a story where the owner of the farm sends servants to deliver his message, to try and get the money from the tenants. And they beat them up and they abuse them. So the owner decides he's going to send his very own son, and surely that would solve the problems. And they don't. They kill the son and make matters worse. And so obviously it's an example of what God did for each and every one of us. That God had the people, the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the elders, they were there in charge. They were the tenants of his vineyard, of Jerusalem, of the land. And God sent his son, Jesus, to try and to sort things out and to deal with that. And yet they killed him and they ended his life. They didn't accept the authority that Jesus had. So that's the parable of the evil farmers in a nutshell. But what I want to look at, like I said, is the first eight verses. So Luke 20, verses 1 to 8. And I can see this flashing behind me. Okay, it's big. That's fine. We'll see what happens with that. And what's happening here is Jesus is being challenged about his authority. So by now, he has spent a long time traveling around, 3 years or so traveling, ministering to people, teaching, healing the sick, raising the dead, and he's been doing all of these miraculous things. And now these religious authorities, they come to him. And they're asking him, by what authority are you doing these things? And this isn't a nice kind of little casual chat. They're asking this question because they're deliberately seeking to try and trap Jesus and to trick him in front of a crowd that have gathered to watch this unfold. And so they come to him and they ask him, by what authority? And that is a reasonably simple question. You know, the Pharisees asking Jesus, hey, by what authority do you do these things? And you would think that Jesus could give a simple answer to that question, wouldn't you? And point towards God. But he doesn't. He decides to turn it around and turn it back on to them. Which is interesting because the context of this is that Jesus, as a Jewish believer, technically on paper, would have been under the authority of these men that are asking this question. So in this context, he is under their earthly authority because they are the priests and the elders and the religious leaders. But that's not what's happening because Jesus turns it around and challenges them about their authority and tricks them. He publicly challenges their authority to show that they're not on the same level as he is when it comes to spiritual authority. And he says, let me ask you this question. Did John's authority to baptize come from heaven or from humans? And by doing that, he's tricking them. He's turning it around and they don't know how to answer. And you can imagine these men in their robes and possibly long beards and big hats, very authoritative figures, suddenly being like, we don't quite know how to answer that question. And they get into this little huddle amongst themselves, like, what should we say? Because if we say this, then he's going to say that. And if we say this, then all the people, well, they're going to stone us because we've already said this publicly and we can't go back on that. So they were in a real quandary as to what to do, which is why in the end they had to come back and just be honest and say, we don't know the answer to your question. Which would have been publicly humiliating for them to have to admit that to Jesus. So something that started out as them trying to humiliate and discredit Jesus got completely flipped on its head and they were the ones that ended up being discredited and maybe looking slightly foolish. And so this whole thing of Jesus's authority is what I want to look at today. And there are going to be three questions that I'm going to ask along the way, which, here we go. Three questions that I'm going to ask along the way for us to think about and process out of this morning. So the first one, where do I point, back there or here? There we go. The first question we're going to look at is, what authority did Jesus actually have? If we're assuming that he had authority to stand up to these religious leaders, then where does that come from? If we look earlier into Luke's gospel, and in particular in Luke chapter 4, Jesus has spoken to a large crowd of people, and the response to that in Luke 4:36 is people asking what authority and power this man's words possess. So they've heard Jesus speak, and then they're saying, wow, what authority this man's words possess. And then in Luke 5, a little bit later on, during the story of Jesus healing the paralyzed man who is lowered through the roof on the mat, we're familiar with that story. Jesus says to the people that are gathered there, I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority to forgive sins. And he says to the man who's been paralyzed, your sins are forgiven. Get up, take your mat, and go home. And he proves to the people that he has the authority to forgive. So we already see that Jesus has the authority to speak with power, and people acknowledge that they've not heard anything like this before. He has the power to forgive sins. In John 5, verse 22, it says, instead, he, this is God, Jesus speaking about God, he has given the Son absolute authority to judge. So Jesus speaks with authority. He heals with authority. He forgives sin. He can now judge with authority. And then in John 10:18, as he speaks about his own life, Jesus says, I have the authority to lay it down when I want to, and also to take it up again, because this is what my Father has commanded. So Jesus has this vast kind of scope of authority that we see and that we read about in Scripture. But where does it come from? And the simple answer is found in John 13:3, where it says there, Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God, and he would return to God. So this authority that Jesus had to heal the sick, to forgive sin, to cast out demons, to judge, to take up his own life and to lay it down, all of this was given to him by his Father, by God. And that's why, for him, he was able to then act confidently and boldly to stand up to the authorities, the earthly authorities, because he knew he had a higher authority that had been given by God himself. And you see, Jesus never moved outside of that authority. He never went to then try and do his own thing in his own time, in his own place. He only did what he saw the Father doing. And he clearly says that in John 5, verse 19, that is up there. Jesus says, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. And again, there's this lovely sense of Jesus walking around. He could do anything at any time. And yet he has chosen to align himself with the authority of his Father that's been given to him to only do what he sees the Father doing. And at the start of this year, as I've been sort of thinking about my life, my ministry, my work, I've been praying this very verse and just really wanting to be in a place where I'm able to say that I only do what I see the Father doing. Now, it's not an excuse to be lazy, that I'm just going to sit around at home until I think I hear God tell me to go and do something. It's just about a sense of having a wisdom about the time that we have, how we spend our time, where we go, and how we then act with the authority that we've been given. And we're going to look at that a little bit more in a moment. But the authority that Jesus had was given by the Father, and it was within that realm of authority that he always operated and he never went outside of that. God, who is the creator and sustainer of the world, has given Jesus the authority, that same power, that same authority. So even though Jesus became fully human in flesh and went through the physical stuff that we face and then died the death of physical death, he had a mantle of authority, a spiritual authority like no one else ever had. And God gave him that. And this authority was expected because it had been prophesied about a long time ago. In fact, right at the beginning in Genesis 49, we read about the fact that the scepter, which again is a sign of authority and power, the scepter shall not leave Judah. He will keep a firm grip on the command staff until the ultimate ruler comes and the nations obey him. The ultimate ruler that is prophesying about is Jesus Christ. And so the authority that Jesus operated in was known about all along. That Jesus would come from the line, the family line of Judah, and that he would be the one who ultimately would be the ruler to whom the nations would obey. So we get to have an understanding there of the authority that Jesus had, what it was, and where it came from. And that's good, that's biblical, that's something we can read and we can take on board and we can understand. But the next question is going to get a bit more personal, if that's all right this morning. You don't have to answer out loud, don't worry. But the next question is, if that's the authority that Jesus had, then what authority do you have? What authority do each and every one of us here today have? If you are here this morning and you are a disciple of Jesus, you are a follower of Jesus, then this is what he said to his first disciples. And therefore, my principle is if he said it to them, it applies to us today because the word of God hasn't changed. He said in Matthew 28, Jesus came to them and said, "All the authority of the universe has been given to me. Now go in my authority and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." It's the words of the Great Commission from Matthew 28, words that we all know and that we've heard spoken about and we've read many a time before. This is taken from a newer version of the Bible called the Passion Translation. And I just like how what it does here is it emphasizes the fact that Jesus is given all the authority of the universe by his Father. And what he's doing in this interaction is he's then giving that authority to his disciples and saying, right, now this is the job I have for you, is to go and make disciples of all nations. And there's a sentence in this verse that is in the original Aramaic, and I found this out by researching. It's in the original Aramaic, but it's missing from all but one of the Greek manuscripts that our New Testament is now based upon. And the sentence reads this in English, that as my Father sent me, so I now send you. So remember what we've just established about Jesus, that he was given authority from God Almighty to do the things that he went on to do. So as God sent Jesus, Jesus now sends each and every one of us to do the same thing. With the same line of authority that's been passed across, we now get to live in this world today, in 2020, here in Fareham. I was going to say Southampton, sorry, in Fareham. We get to live and to serve God. In Luke, again, Luke chapter 9, verse 1, we read again that one day Jesus called together his 12 disciples and he gave them power and authority to cast out demons and to heal all diseases. In Luke 10, verse 19, he's going back and he's talking to his disciples again. He's saying, look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. You can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. So there in Luke 9 and Luke 10, following chapters, Jesus is saying to his disciples, look, I'm giving you authority, I'm giving you power to go and do the work that I'm asking you to do. And that's what he says to each and every one of us today. If you remember nothing else or take no other notes, make a note of this, that is Jesus' message to us today. I am giving you all authority and power to do the work that I need you to do in this day and age, wherever you find yourself, in your college, in your school, in your workplace, in your neighborhood, in your church, in your home, wherever it might be. You're not doing it on your own. You're not doing it just with the support of your church. You're not doing it because Paul's given you authority to go and do something in the name of Duncan Road Church. You're doing it because God Almighty has called you to do it and is giving you the authority to go and do it. An American writer by the name of Mark Batterson said that potential is God's gift to us, but what we do with that is our gift back to him. And the authority that God has given each and every one of us gives us great potential. And how we use that authority now is our gift, is our worship back to God for who he is and for all that he's done for us. That's how we show our love for him, our worship for him, is how we now live and serve him. I'm going to read from John 14. This is a verse that blows my mind every time I read it. And I hope each time I read it, I kind of grasp something of it a bit more and take it on board a bit more. And let's hope that today that's the same for us. John 14, verses 12 and 13, say this: I tell you this truth. The person who follows me in faith, believing in me, will do the same mighty miracles that I do. I think we need to pause there for a second, because this is Jesus Christ, the Savior that we've just been proclaiming and worshiping. Jesus who can heal the sick, who can raise the dead, who can walk on water, who can calm the storm, who can defeat demons. This is Jesus, and he's saying to you and me today, he said it to people for thousands of years, he's saying it to you and me today, you will do the same mighty miracles that I do. Hello. This is a crazy. This is Jesus saying, you're going to do some of this stuff. Why? Because you have the same authority that I had to do these things. But it gets better. Because not only does he say, you will do the same mighty miracles that I do. Oh no. He goes on to say, you will do even greater miracles than these. Anybody interested in doing greater miracles than Jesus did? Just me, okay. But this is a challenge. If we proclaim to believe what the word of God says and that it's truth, then we have to believe these words, that we will do the same things that Jesus did, and potentially, as and when God calls us and leads us, even greater things than our Savior did while he was on this earth. And then Jesus goes on to say in verse 13, I will do whatever you ask me to do when you ask in my name. This is how the Son will show what the Father is really like. Ask me anything in my name, and I will do it for you. So again, even that speaks of an authority that you and I now have. Because we can ask Jesus for anything in his name, and he's telling us that he will do it. Now, obviously, this comes with the caveat that it's not saying, I want to walk out of here today, and I pray, Jesus, that my Volkswagen Touran would have turned into a Porsche 911, or that there'll be a private jet waiting out there for me to get me home quicker. It's not trivial stuff like that that Jesus says, oh yeah, whatever you ask for, I'll give you that if you want it. You want an extra £1,000 in your bank account? Sorted, you know, that kind of thing. But when we ask Jesus for things that are in line with his will, that will enable us and help us to show God to other people, then Jesus is there saying, I've got everything you need. I've got the arsenal of weapons that you need to go and fight the battles that you need to fight in this day and age. Ask me, and I will give it to you. We have the same authority that Jesus Christ had when he walked on this earth to do the things that he did, and who knows, maybe even greater things. But do we really grasp that? Do we understand that? Do we know what that means and what that feels like? Philippians 2, verse 5 is a well-known verse that talks about having the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. But in the Message translation, it says, think of yourself as Christ Jesus thought of himself. And again, that's a challenge for us, because Jesus knew the authority that he operated in. He knew that he was sent by God and that God had given him authority. That's why he was able to stand up to the Pharisees and the religious authorities in the way he did. And so he was able to operate with a boldness and a confidence and a complete faith and trust in God. And now Philippians tells us, as Paul writes to the church there, he tells us that we should think about ourselves in the same way. That we have that same level of confidence and boldness to do the things that God calls us to do. Why? Because we have the same authority. We have God-given authority. Jesus knew who he was and what authority he operated in and what he was called to do. Do you know that this morning? Do you know who you are in God? Do you know what authority and power you have at your fingertips? And do you know what it is that God's called you to do with that authority? The final question this morning is, we've looked at the authority Jesus had, and then we've looked and asked the question, do we know what authority we have? But the final point I want to pick up on this is, by whose authority do we live our lives on a daily basis? Because the way I see it, there are three kind of main types of authority that we can live under any given day. There are the earthly authorities, which we spoke about earlier. The teachers, the parents, Boris and his gang. We live under the earthly authorities and that's it. We just do what we're told every single day and we don't do anything else. Alongside that, we can live under our own authority. And what I mean by that is that we make our own rules and we live our life the way we want to live it. And for some of that, that incorporates this thing called the sinful nature that Scripture talks about, the human nature, the sinful nature that we all have inside of each and every one of us. Do we live by that? Do we allow that to dictate our thoughts, our patterns of behavior, our habits, the things that we do? Or do we live completely by God's authority and what he says to us in his word? Those are our three choices, in a way. And what we read about in Luke 20 here is a battle between earthly authority with the elders and the Pharisees, the religious leaders, and then the spiritual heavenly authority that Jesus was operating in. And I want to suggest that we live with that same battle today. And each and every day, we have a choice to make under whose authority we will live and by whose authority we will live. We all have to obey the law. I think we can probably cross that one off. We're all called, it says in 1 Peter 2:13, for the Lord's sake, submit to human authority. So whatever we think about decisions that are made and things that are going to happen, we have to submit to that because that's the biblical thing to do. Unless God stirs something up in us to revolt and to stand firm on something else. But we are to submit to human authority. But then what about when it comes to then the spirit, the sinful nature, our own authority? Do we give in to that and submit to that? Or do we allow the higher power of God's authority to direct our lives and to rule our lives? This is what Galatians 5:17 says. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. And these two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you're not free to carry out your good intentions. So unfortunately, we cannot escape the sinful nature, that part of our life that will seek to be the authority in us and seek to control the way we think and how we conform to the patterns of this world as it speaks about in Romans. But what we can choose to do is to allow the authority of God, the heavenly authority, the Word of God, to fight that. And increasingly, day by day, bit by bit, listen more to what God has to say than what our human nature has to say, our sinful nature. Because God wants for each and every one of us to live pure lives, to live holy, to live righteous. And that means we choose whose authority we live by each and every day. There is a great freedom, and there is power, and there is abundance when we live under the authority of God. There is a freedom to live pure, to live holy. There is a freedom to experience new things with God as we walk out of these doors today. But we have to kind of grasp and apply to our lives that authority that God has given us. And we have to be ready to listen to it and to live our lives by it. Now, I'd love to stand up here and say, and I've mastered how to do that, and here's my book. You can buy it. But I haven't mastered that, because I would be perfect then, and none of us are perfect. It's a thing that we have to commit to on an ongoing basis. And it can start today by simply saying, God, I acknowledge that you are the Almighty, you are the creator of this world. And I acknowledge that you have given me authority in this world, in this earthly realm, to operate and to do the things you want me to do, to be the person you've called me to be, and to serve you in the way you've called me to serve. Father, make me more like you want me to be. So as we close this morning, I want to pray that, if that's all right. And if that resonates with you, pray it yourself as well. Pray it from your heart to God. He's listening, and he wants to hear that from you. So Father, I thank you that you sent Jesus to us as an example of how to live. An example of how to live in your authority, Jesus. Father, I pray that you'd help each and every one of us just grab hold of this morning, and to get a better understanding of what it means for us to live in that authority today. What it means for us to minister to others in that authority. What it means to pray for people in that authority. Jesus, you said that we will do the same things that you did. And I want to pray this morning that right here and right now, you will just be refreshing people's authority, renewing their authority, to be your hands and your feet, to be your voice, to be salt and to be light in their homes, in their communities, in their workplaces, in schools and colleges, Father. That as we go out of these doors, we will have our head held a little bit higher and our chest puffed out a little bit more, because we have understood something about the authority that you're sending us out in. And Father, I pray for Duncan Road Church here, Father. That, Lord God, your authority would rest upon them in a new way this year. That as they embark on their projects, Father, as they do the men's breakfasts and the men's nights and the different groups, Father, as the outreach happens, as the toddler groups take place, Father, every Sunday as they meet together, Father, I pray that you will anoint the leaders with your authority, and that you will then anoint each and every member of this church, this family here, to live and to operate in the authority that you've given them, Father. And with that in mind, to know that they can overcome. They can fight battles that you call them to fight, and they can be victorious because they have your power. So, Father, we thank you for your word to us. I pray that you would seal it into our hearts, into our minds, and help us to apply it to our lives so that we go out of here being more like the people you want us to be. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.